So we've been looking, and I've been writing about in crazy fashion about this powerful Holy Spirit that indwells us and is our source. And the more I think about this, the more I realize that there's another theme that runs through Scripture for us. And that's why I'm kind of looking at today's message and calling it Embracing Divine Mystery. So my thought this morning and my goal is not to answer a lot of questions, but put a lot of questions out there for us to ponder. So let me read this paragraph and let's begin here. What God has done, what we've become, what is ours, what is now our place of permanent belonging, these things stagger the imagination. All aspects of our salvation, our in Christ lives, can only be discerned spiritually, with spiritual eyes, with open hearts. Embracing them with childlike faith grows us up to spiritual maturity. The Spirit of God within us seems to be willing, up to a point, to submit to our timetable, to our willingness to cooperate, to our yes. It may be because he fully appreciates the tentative reach of clay feet across the old creation, new creation divide. So what I see here often in Scripture is our passages and things that we read about that are mysterious, that don't really seem to present a clear solution, that leave us wondering. And it makes me remember back years ago when at church we had a men's gathering, a men's movie night, and we were watching a couple of movies that weren't my style, the things that I would go to. And in the middle of this, it was kind of science fiction or something anyway. And I made some stupid comment like, you know, let's come back to reality. And one of the guys was really upset with me. And so the rebuke was, oh, Don, suspend your disbelief. And I've often thought of that line, suspend your disbelief, because that is what we do in movies, isn't it? And that's what we do in books when we're reading books. We put aside what is reality, what's going on around, and we immerse ourselves in, if the story is good enough, whether on screen or at the movies itself, or you know, in a book or whatever. And so often, I think our problem in spiritual growth and understanding Scripture is we're unwilling to suspend our disbelief. So we come at it with this attitude is, I have to know, I have to figure this out. I have to go into Scripture and it has to get cleared up so there's absolutely no gray area, no mystery left. And I think when we do that, we miss the joy and the freedom of being like little children who are just in awe of so many things. They don't understand it. They just accept it. It's what happens. And that's just, they don't have to figure out how do we get here? How did this happen or whatever? And so I think sometimes in order to fully appreciate this life that God has given us, we need to be able to suspend our disbelief. And, you know, as the man who came to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, just there's a part of this that I don't get. And remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus and Jesus was explaining about being born again. And Nicodemus was like, what? Like, I don't get this. What are you talking about? How can that even happen? And, you know, and I think Jesus' message to Nicodemus also was, you know, Nicodemus, you just have to suspend your disbelief and trust. And so the Scripture passages I want to look at today, I wrote them out for us because, you know, I want to use them from mostly from the Passion Translation, but this first one from The Voice. And I want us to be able to look at these Scripture verses in a sense of we're going into a mystery and we're going to remain somewhat in mystery. because God is bigger. We'll never fully understand. We'll never fully explain who God is. We'll never fully be able to explain this new in Christ life that is now ours. We don't really understand that. We don't understand fully what it means to have the Holy Spirit living in us. Like, what does that really mean? And to be fully forgiven, what does that really mean? So as we come into these scripture verses this morning, and I, you know, we'll give some time at the end to, you know, kind of share some of the mystery that we've experienced as we, and then we spend some time just asking the Holy Spirit again, as we've been doing the last few weeks, to things that the Holy Spirit might like to speak to us as a group or to individuals. So the first passage I want to look at, this one verse out of Psalm 42, and each one of these verses could be an entire passage we'd look at, but that would take too long. So if you're intrigued to go deeper into the mystery, you know, you're invited to look at the entire chapter or whatever. But Psalm 42 and verse 7 from the voice, it says this: in the roar of your waterfalls, ancient depths surge, calling out to the deep. All your waves break over me. Am I drowning? Yet in the light of day, the Eternal shows me his love. And I just find so much beauty in this verse. In the roar of your waterfalls, ancient depths surge, calling out to the deep. One translation says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. What is that really saying? You know, I just think there's a sense of obviously depth in God, a depth that we'll never fully plumb. But I think the fact that the Holy Spirit now lives in us, this idea of ancient depths surge, calling out to the deep, maybe calling out to the deep within us. There's something that is going on here that we don't fully understand, but God has invited us into a journey, into an adventure with him that bypasses all of our understanding. You know, it's just like peace that passes all understanding. We don't get it. We don't really seize the how and the why and the what, but we know it's there. You know, maybe we can share some of those examples of when God has provided peace when we should have been totally spazzing out, I guess. But in the roar of your waterfalls, and I think of, you know, if you've been to a major waterfall like Niagara Falls, I mean, that roars, there is enormous sound that comes there. And, you know, if you're close enough to the falls, if you're talking to someone, you basically, you're lip reading because you can't hear what the person is saying. So there's the roar of waterfalls. There's ancient depths surging, calling out to the deep. And I love this when it says in the voice, all your waves break over me. All these waters break over me. And then he asks, am I drowning? It's this, there's such a sense of being overwhelmed here. And then he ends, yet in the light of day, the Eternal shows me his love. So no, it might feel like a drowning experience, kind of like going back to my fire hose writing that I mentioned. You know, it's just too much for us to fully grasp. And so instead of saying, I'm not going to rest until I fully understand this, until I nail down every aspect of this, instead of that, let's be childlike in our faith and saying, you know what, there's far more to God, far more to this life that he's called us to than we're ever going to fully be able to describe in words. And so the invitation is to embrace the divine mystery. You know, part of the mystery, obviously, is why on earth would God choose us? You know, and maybe you're aware of why he's chosen you, but it always amazes me when I think of it. It's like, why did God choose Don Freeman? I think I was probably like the least likely, but you know, here I am. So, yes, so the continuing here, let's continue embracing mystery, just being content with, I don't understand it all. And, you know, the first time that thought came to me, not supposed about God, but somebody was talking to me about how the transatlantic communications were established. And, you know, they went on for 20 minutes describing all this. And you know, at the end of the 20 minutes, I had no idea what they just said. And so I'm just like, you know what? I don't really need to know. All I need to know is it works. I'm not responsible for making it work. I don't understand who had to do what to make it work, but I'm the beneficiary of whatever else they had to do. So, you know, there's that sense that God is much bigger than whatever understanding I might have. So number two, moving on, same thing, I guess, in some ways. This is from the prophecy of Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus came. And, you know, in kinship, there are a small group of us is going through the book of Isaiah chapter by chapter. And the first chapters have been slightly gruesome. The warnings, it's been really kind of nasty. There are some verses we've kind of almost skipped over. They've been so graphic and what God was threatening to do, etc. But we're getting ready to move on to the better chapters. And so Isaiah 43 is one of those. And so here's Isaiah 43, verse 2 in the Passion. When you pass through the deep, stormy sea, you can count on me to be there with you. When you pass through the raging rivers, you will not drown. For I am your Savior, Yahweh, your mighty God, the Holy One of Israel. This is a part of, you know, a whole chapter, a whole bunch of verses talking about God's faithfulness to Israel as they come back from captivity. This is what's going to happen. And so he says, when you pass through the deep stormy sea and you pass through the raging rivers, you will not drown. And as I think of that, as the people of Israel would have heard Isaiah's prophecy, wouldn't their minds go back to the exit from Egypt? They passed through the stormy sea. And one time I was reading in a commentary, and when the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea on dry ground, it was in flood season. So of all times of the year, it was the most complicated and the most impossible to do. And so the miracle was not just the normal time, but it was actually in flood season. And so what God did was this amazing miracle, which they rehearsed over and over again, generation after generation. So those living in Isaiah's day would have immediately thought back to the miracle of delivering the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea, through the deep stormy sea, the raging river. And God repeats, and he says, when you do these things, whether the physical sea, or the physical river, or a spiritual one, I'm going to be with you, and you will not drown. You will not die. This will not be the end. It might feel like it. And just like in Psalm 42, going, am I drowning? You know, it's like, is there something more than, am I going to make it through this? And he says, you will not drown, for I am your Savior, Yahweh, your mighty God, the Holy One of Israel. So this is telling them that it's really a promise to them. You're going to see and experience deep, stormy seas and raging rivers. It's going to happen when it happens, not if it happens, when it happens. And so this is really kind of an exciting prophecy that, all right, as we lean into God, it's going to be frightening if we look at ourselves. if we're like Peter, you know, we're walking on the waves and all of a sudden we look down and realize what we're doing. And it's like, uh-oh, I can't do this. And the minute he looked down at his feet, he started to sink because he took his eyes off Jesus, off of the mystery of what was just happening. And so again, like with childlike faith, we tell a child that they can do something. They might be nervous and afraid because they've never done it before. But if we assure them, as parents assure children, you can do this, they're almost giddy with excitement because it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I could do this. And, you know, it's like the first time you ride a bicycle without the training wheels, but you didn't know the training wheels weren't there. And you drove down the road without falling in the ditch. And then you realize, I did it all by myself. There were no training wheels and nobody was running behind me holding on. You know, so it's an exciting thing. And so here's this wonderful prophecy again about deep waters and raging rivers that is such an image of great power, of course, and a great sense, the great promise of God's faithfulness that we don't understand, but we lean into it. Somebody was just talking yesterday with a devotional talking about trust falls. If you've ever had to do a trust fall in a group, you stand up on a platform and you've got a group of people behind you and you just fall backwards into their arms. Doesn't sound like a good idea to me, but you know, apparently that's what they do on these ropes courses and stuff. It's to create trust in your team. So that's how we can trust in God as well. Then we move into the New Testament, number 3, in Luke chapter 5. And I totally love this verse. This is when Jesus has been down toward the shore and there's a huge crowd gathered to hear him speak. And so in order to get a better advantage for speaking, he gets into one of the fishing boats that's near the shore. He says, pull out just a little bit so I can have the advantage of distance and speak up to this big crowd of people. So he speaks to them. And then when he's done teaching, he turns to the fishermen and says in Luke 5:4, row out to deep water to cast your nets and you will have a great catch. Row out to deep water. Now, that's just one verse, obviously, but the rest of the story says, the fisherman, Peter, is one of the fishermen, and he says, well, but Master, we've been fishing all night and caught nothing. And, you know, and nighttime was the time of best fishing for them. And so they went all night long, got nothing. But he says, but if you tell us to, all right, we'll do it. And so they push out, they row out to deep waters. And of course, we know the story. There were so many fish, the boat almost began to sink. And by one estimate, you know, I was reading, they said it could have been almost a ton of fish, literally, that they caught all of a sudden. And so Jesus says, here's what you do, row out to deep water. And so the physical deep water where they went to is one thing, but I just see that there's a prophetic edge to this word as well, to these guys, and rowing out to deep water. You know, we have this song, Oceans, you know, take me further out than my feet could ever wander, you know, so that my faith might grow stronger. You know, so that whole idea of moving beyond what makes sense to us and what is physically possible, but moving ourselves out into deep waters, beyond our own depth, into God's depth, and just trusting him. And of course, as this passage goes on in Luke chapter 5, Peter finally comes to him and just falls at his feet. And it's like, you know, I'm a man of unclean lips, kind of, you know, that kind of thing. And that's where the Lord says, but from now on, you're going to be fishing for men. You know, that's where you're going to be the fisher of men. And so casting out, rowing out into deep waters, just trusting, knowing that this is what God is asking us to do. It doesn't make sense. We need to suspend our disbelief and just trust that God knows what he's doing and he's going to take us there. That's a beautiful story to me. Then if we move to Revelation number 4, Revelation 7:17, this is still a part of obviously this vision, this open vision that John is having there on the island of Patmos. And verse 17 of Revelation 7 says, "The Lamb at the center of the throne continually shepherds them into life, guiding them to the everlasting fountains of the water of life." Always guiding them, continuously guiding them to the fountains of the water of life. And so, you know, Revelation, of course, is filled with this wild, surging imagery that, you know, so many people have tried to figure out and tried to describe and to take away the mystery so that it makes sense to our normal thinking. But in doing that, we miss the depths. We miss the richness of this image, this what causes us to kind of step back in disbelief, like, what is this? And yet God fully intends that there is a remaining mystery, that we lean into something without fully getting it, without fully understanding, because it's who he is. He's the eternal one, Yahweh, the one who created everything from nothing. And so he invites us into this journey. He calls us to his heart, to his love, this total divine mystery of God's love for us. So it's the Lamb who was slain, the Lamb at the center of the throne, continuously shepherds them into life, guiding them to the everlasting fountains of the water of life. So without trying to dissect the whole thing and parse our way down to everything that makes total sense to us, just saying, this is the promise that God is giving us. This is what we can trust, that the God who has created all things is continuously leading us and all those who follow him to the fountains of the water of life. Such a beautiful thing. And then we move all the way over into Revelation chapter 21, number 5 here, also in the Passion. "Then he said to me, 'It has been accomplished, for I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end. I will give water to all who are thirsty. As my gracious gift, they will continuously drink from the fountain of living water. The conquering ones will inherit these gifts from me.'" The Passion Translation translates the Greek Alpha and Omega, which we're familiar with, as we've mentioned, to the Hebrew Aleph and the Tau, the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So we're normally used to hearing it in the Greek, the Alpha and the Omega. But I just think it's interesting to highlight it with the Aleph and the Tau. He is also the beginning and the end for the Jews, for the Jewish people. And so to put it there just pulls our attention a little bit more there. But this word in Revelation, it has been accomplished, or it is finished. And doesn't "it is finished" remind us of some famous words as well from the cross? It is accomplished, it's been accomplished. It is finished once for all. And these once for all verses, there are several of them in the book of Hebrews, that, you know, Christ died, he was the sacrifice once for all, and over again. So this word, "it is finished." And so God declares, "I am the Aleph and the Tau, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I started this all, and I am going to bring it to its conclusion, because I am that large." And he says, so all who come to me, I will give the water, all who are thirsty, and my gracious gift, they will continuously drink from the fountain of living water. So part of the mystery is God is intending for us, those who follow him, those who trust in him, to continuously drink from the fountain of living water. We never run dry. When we feel like we've gotten dry, when spiritually we just feel like, wow, I'm in a dry and thirsty land. But God's intention for us, what he's planned for us, is that we will continuously drink from the fountain of living water. Now, my guess is, like me, as you've been listening to these five verses, so many other scripture references pop up, so many other things where God has talked about these types of things and using water as an imagery and the Holy Spirit and the imagery of water and the Holy Spirit. But all of these, I find, are mystery. They don't explain themselves fully to our satisfaction, like, you know, maybe in math class, maybe that's a bad illustration, but, you know, sometimes we explain things and once we get it, you know, we have that aha moment. It's like, oh, that's it. Now I get it. You know, the worst experience was for me trying to understand things was in chemistry class. And some of you might be chemistry majors, but chemistry was just a blur. I never did fully understand all these reactions. And unfortunately, I never quite fully embraced the mystery of chemistry. And so I was grateful when it was over. But if you're a chemistry major, kudos to you. You're way ahead of me on that one. And so I think what I really want to look at or think about this morning, and for us to think about as we embrace divine mystery, we don't have all the answers. And we have to come to the place of saying, I don't have all the answers, and it's okay. I don't need to have all the answers. It doesn't all need to be crystal clear for me, because we hope, you know, we don't hope for what we don't have. We don't hope for what we already have. That makes no sense. We hope for what is yet unseen, as scripture tells us. And so the mystery, embracing mystery, suspending our disbelief, seeing that God is much larger. Sue often says, you know, God is large and in charge. And we're not, you know, we're neither large nor in charge. And so it's okay. I can just rest. And so maybe spiritually we can do a trust fall into God's arms. Just fall back into his arms, trusting that he's going to be there and he's going to do all that he's promised for us. And so he won't let us drown, even though we row out to deep water, but that's where we're going to find our catch. That's where we're going to find the response we've been looking for all along, like those fishermen. And maybe it isn't a boat full of fish we're looking for, but maybe what we're looking for, we're going to find it when we row out past everything that makes sense, everything that is filled with assurance, and we just trust him. And so we row out to that deep water, but we have promises of the water of life and these fountains continuously being led to them. When we forget where they are and when we feel lost, it says the Lamb at the center of the throne will continuously guide us to the everlasting fountain of the waters of life. Such beautiful imagery, and many more passages, I'm sure, that we could share with each other as we finish up here this morning. And this image that I put at the end of the paragraph, I really do think the Holy Spirit appreciates the tentative reach of our clay feet as they reach across the old creation, new creation divide. That verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone who is in Christ is a new creation, old things are passed away, all things are become new. But that too is a mystery, isn't it? all things are become new. You know, sometimes when we look at what we've done during the day, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, it doesn't look like old things have passed away. But that's what Scripture declares. And so what God has done is the mystery. Let me pray us into the mystery, and then let's share some, maybe some other passages of Scripture or the things that God has done to help us lean into mystery, where we've been asked to do something or go someplace to do something that didn't make sense, and yet, lo and behold, God showed up. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, would you truly invite us, encourage us to suspend our disbelief and to just lean into this beautiful mystery of your love, your choosing, your adopting us, your indwelling of us, of all amazing things. That you would do this for us, that you would share gifts, that we can share Christ's inheritance. These things truly boggle our imagination. Like, what is, how can this even be? But could we rest comfortably? Could we just allow you to usher us into these deeper waters without fear? Could we, as this verse in Joshua that was read earlier, could we just know that we're being led by you and there's no need to fear, that you're going to make us strong and courageous as you build our faith, not because we see it, not because every detail is ironed out, but because of who you are. So thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for not seeing us as sinners in need of salvation, but sinners who have already received the gift of salvation. Those who've been redeemed, those who have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You are amazing. Father, thank you for this morning, for this day, for this time of sharing together from maybe the riches of what we've experienced in all these years that we walk with you. So we bless you for the encouragement that we'll have in sharing together here now. In Jesus' name, amen. So what things has God spoken to us, either in just in listening to these verses? I know ideas have been popping up, experiences. I know we've all experienced deep waters. So what experiences, what can we share with one another?
Can you hear me, John?
Yes, I can.
Okay. You mentioned the Hillsong song called Oceans, and when I was reading this morning, your about waters and trust and things, it made me think of this song. And I just read a little tiny bit of the chorus because it reflects very much what you're saying. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I think that's really reflects what you're saying as well. You know, it's the daring to take those steps into the unknown, into the deep water, but our Savior is always with us.
Yes, so good.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, what was striking me as you were talking, Don, is how comfortable my life is. And I was thinking, when did I last step out in faith? Because I don't know about the rest of you, but as you get older, you kind of build a nest. You build a lot of safety barriers around yourself, and it becomes, I suppose it actually becomes increasingly difficult to to step out into the unknown, into the mystery, in the same way that physically you get less, I get less able to sort of just stride up a mountain. So that doesn't really help us, but I'm just reflecting on the fact that there aren't too many mysterious moments in my life, and I wish there were more. I suppose the one example came to mind, and it's a very feeble one, but it's, you know, we had this invitation this summer, or this request, to have Samuel and two of his friends come. And I suppose that, you know, opening up our home to obviously our grandson, which is lovely, but two friends who we didn't know, I suppose in a weird sense, that was stepping into the unknown. It was opening our larder and our home and our gardens, and it was a real blessing. You know, it wasn't always easy, but it's kind of a bit of a highlight this summer. And so that's hardly walking on the waters, but that's the best example I can think recently of where we stepped into the relative unknown. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Chris, I would say that is walking on the waters. That is absolutely walking on the waters. Mm-hmm. And this actually happened to me yesterday, but when we start to see kingdom activity in younger people, we start seeing kingdom activity, and we see it. And Chris, may you be seeing it more and more and more. You start seeing kingdom activity in younger people. And because you know kingdom activity, you will recognize it, even if it's just like that. Mm-hmm. And then you add, that's that seed, right? And then you just add the prayers to that, and the praise, not just the prayers, but the praise to it. And then we just see that kingdom activity begin to increase. I was doing a prayer walk in a park in Williamsburg yesterday, and the pastor who puts this on, she and I were prayer walking together, and there was this young man on a swing, and his grandma was there getting some food because there was a food drop there for families that needed some food. And she just engaged him. And I'm just watching this and I'm saying, oh my gosh, I am just seeing kingdom activity here, because she is planting stuff like, his name was Kavai. And she says, oh, Kavai. She was just affirming him and that he's on God's radar screen, and just, but it was a beautiful sort of thing. And that's what you did for Samuel, but to all those others that might not have ever known any place of kingdom, but you invited them into kingdom. That's great. I'll stop there. But I want to encourage you that, because anytime you invest, like Deanna, anytime you invest in young people, anytime you're investing kingdom, God's going to do something with that. So that's exciting. I love it. Thanks.
Thank you. And if I could just say one more thing, you've reminded me that I did do, and I've never done this before, I got five of our grandchildren, five or six, together to do a godly play on the parable of the sower. And I'm sure I did it wrong. I'm sure I forgot bits, but I had my box. I had all my little materials, and the divine bit was, there was just this lull in activity. So I said, come on, kids. And we went off into a bedroom and we all sat in a circle and we went through the parable of the sower. And, you know, there was differing degrees of interest, ages, six to 13, 14. And then I said, okay, and this I hadn't prepared to do. I said, okay, we've learned about growth, and as you say, it's kingdom, even though you don't mention who the sower is. This is the beautiful thing, and what the soils mean. I said, let's catch up together and see whether God has been doing any growth in us. And so we had an opportunity, and they remembered whole sentences from the previous day. I was amazed, you know, and it kind of had sunk in. Some of them don't go to Sunday school, got no idea about Bible stories. Anyway, so yeah, you reminded me that I suppose was stepping into the unknown.
Bravo.
Good. Keith.
No. When we were looking at number three, where Jesus talked about, let's go out to the other side to get a big catch, it made me think of another time when Jesus got into a boat and he told his disciples, come on, let's go to the other side. And they had seen all kinds of miracles already. They had seen Jesus heal a leper, they had seen him do all kinds of things prior to this. He said, let us go to the other side. And he went up and laid down and went to sleep. We know this story. And it says that there was a great squall, a great storm that arose. And here's 12 guys plus Jesus. And it wasn't like a canoe. It's a fairly good sized fishing boat because you got to have enough for the crew and the nets and the fish that you catch. But these 12 guys, many of them familiar with the sea, the lakes, the storms, they know what it's like and they've been out there before. But yet it was so great that they became frightened. They were scared. They thought they were going to die. And one of them went up and said, Master, wake up. How can you sleep? We're all going to die here. The boat's going to sink. It's going to capsize. We're all going to drown. And Jesus said, you have little faith. They had seen all of these miracles, and they had forgotten the thing that he said before they got in the boat. He said, let us go to the other side. When he speaks those words to us, no matter what comes, no matter the storm, no matter the roadblocks, the great caverns, whatever it is, the pit that's ahead of us, when he says, let's go this way, he's going to carry us to the place that he says. We're going to go to the other side. So we don't have to be like the guys in the boat, even though we're going to be, because we forgot all the miracles and everything that he did already. You know, he had just taught and did miracles minutes before they got in that boat. And we do that too. We go to a conference, we go to a retreat, we go to a service, we have a conversation, a kinship, fellowship, whatever it is, and wow, God just moves. And minutes later, he speaks to us, let's go to the other side, or whatever it is. And we forget, we get scared. Well, at least I do. And I'll admit that's probably the only shortcoming that I have. So I just, I'll go ahead and confess that to you all right now. I think that's the only one. Some of you may argue. Yeah. Some of you might argue that point, but he's going to take us all to the other side. Okay. Remind me of that.
That's part of what we need to do with our words with one another, that we can share, that we need to, they always remind us of those things because we all forget. And so, yes, our words help us to be reminded that, oh yeah, God is still here and he's still doing his, he's still doing the work in us that he intends to do. Good word. All right. Well, let's take a few moments to see what the Lord might want to say to us as a group or to one individual. Let's just spend some time. And if we sense the Lord is speaking, let's do this. We always need encouragement. We always need, as Keith's been just saying, reminders that God is going to do this. So let's just take a few minutes. And if you have something, let's share.
I have something for Jenny. Jenny, I think God is saying that every action of your heart and hand is holy activity, and he sees it all. It is holy activity to him. So that's what I got.
Thank you. Yes, mm-hmm. Lord. Mm. Yeah. I got something for you too, Jenny, and it is that part of that song that our sister just read. It may be deeper than your feet can wander, but he has taken you through everything so far.
That's right.
And that will continue. There's no reason why it won't.
That's right. Yeah, I totally was thinking earlier, it's just all of us have had things in our lives where we knew it was God, big or small. And then, you know, even in the years past, and then we're into something else now that's hard or whatever. God isn't going to bring you through those hard things in the past just to leave you right now. Right. You know, it's like he's not going to do that. And so that's where it's just like, he's not going to leave you. And he's definitely reminded me in the night times and in this, I'm with you. So yes. I'm very thankful for all of you. And yes, thank you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of an old song by a group called the Imperials. And he didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't. Something to let us drown.
Right.
So, yeah. So anyway, that's a really, boy, that's a flash from the past. That was a long time ago. But that was a good song. Yeah. So any others? And then we're, Carol.
Oh, good, Carol.
Oh, good. This is, about something when God showed up once to let me know he was there, and then years later he showed up again to remind me that he was there, and this had to do with a car accident I was in some years ago, and I was very shakily standing outside my car, and the people were hovering around, and this man came from nowhere. It was like suddenly he was standing by my side, and he said, "I'll stay here with you until the ambulance comes," and he did. And I didn't know him. I didn't know where he came from. And he supported me and he kept me calm. And then I got in the ambulance and my friend came and he went away. I didn't know who he was until later when I went back to my exercise place. One of the nurses said it was her husband. So we sort of kept in touch a little bit back and forth. Well, last week I was up at town hall to get some paperwork done, and we have to wear a mask while we're in town hall. And this man came up to me and he said, "Carol, how are you doing?" And I looked at him and I thought, with the mask on and all, I thought, "Oh, who is this?" So I didn't try to fake it. I sort of did. I said, "Will you take your mask off? Do you mind for a moment so I can see who you are?" And it was him. And I thought, God sent him back to remind me that he was there for me. So here's just a little reminder that I was there once, and believe it or not, I'm still here.
Sweet. Good. Yeah. Great little reminders.
Just hearing you all talk, sometimes we have been, I'm assuming all of us at one point or another have been, or we have felt abandoned. And whether it's bereavement, a parent going to prison, divorce, separation, we have felt abandoned. And people will fail us. I have failed people. And we have all, whether we know it or not, we have failed people. And others may perceive that we failed them or we abandoned them.
Mm-hmm.
But that one thing that Jesus said, I will never leave you. And then the forsaken part is huge. I will never forsake you.
Yeah. Wow.
He's always there. And when we are or we feel abandoned, we're really not. You know, God shows up and in one way, shape, or form, you know, this man for Carol, this man becomes one of God's angels to be there and to be used of God to minister. And that's how he works. And that's all I have to say about that.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. It's just such great reminders of what God has done. And as we've said, you know, God's led us through so many deep waters. It's as we look back at all the times when we thought we were drowning and thought we were dying and thought we'd never survived whatever it was. And we're here. So, you know, God keeps showing up. So
thank you, Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
I have something for Horace and Amelia. It just came to me really fast. It was, where you live, you have lit the oil lamp a long time ago. Where you live, it's physically where you live. And you have lit the oil lamp, and that light goes further than you think. And it is God supplying the oil. And so just know that it's his light, but you lit the oil lamp. He's providing the oil. And that light, which is obviously the light of Christ in you, goes further than you think. And it illuminates, it does what light does. It dispels darkness. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm. Yes. Okay,
so the light goes further than you think. Okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's great. All right.
Thank you for that.